Mix session number 14846, reel 1.
Mr. McEwen, reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
Manor Park, London, part of East Ham.
And which year was this?
1927.
What did your father do for a living?
He was a gas fitter.
And did you go to school in East Ham?
Yes, I went to Essex Road School originally until I passed the scholarship, and then I went to Wakefield Central because Sandringham Central had been shut because of the war.
Did you actually hear the broadcast of Chamberlain announcing that we were at war?
Yes, I did. I was in the garden with my sister, and we heard next door's radio, which was very loud, and they said we were at war. And then we went indoors and saw my mother, who was cooking the Sunday roast.
Did you have any reaction to the news, or were you too young?
I was too young to really assimilate what it meant that time.
So you didn't feel excited?
It's difficult. Anticipation, I suppose, is the word that nearest covers it. It was a sort of expectancy of things to come.
What was the first effect that the war had on you?
Well, shortly after the broadcast, the air raid siren went, and we all marshalled down to the air raid shelter at the bottom of the garden, which my father and the other person living in the house, Mr. Jim Hudson, had really sort of made a good job of. They sort of put the earth over the top of the shelter and put sandbags. I'd helped to fill the sandbags that went in front of the shelter. And we made our way down into the place, and suddenly the whistles started blowing, short, sharp blows on the whistle, and we all started to put our gas masks on. We were getting very fidgety in the shelter. About 20 minutes elapsed, and the siren, the all clear went, and we all went back into the house. And we found that a little Jewish warden had been blowing the whistle, but we never did find out why. Although the short, sharp blasts were the signal for gas attack.
What was your address?
31 Goldsmith Avenue, Manor Park.
What are your next memories?
The next memories were that there was a long delay. Nothing seemed to sort of be happening. And then the raids started. Daylight raids, as I remember them. And I saw the flames in the sky, well, the redness in the sky from the Woolwich docks. I heard that anthracites had been on ships, and this had been set alight, and sugar warehouses had been set alight. And these flames went on into the night.
And then?
As far as the schooling was concerned at the time, I remember that the schools were shut, presumably because the teachers, a lot of them, had been called up. So I went to Little Ilford Parish Church to learn French, phonetic French, for a small time. And then I went to Kensington Avenue, which normally was a girls' school, and studied there. Until the bombing got so bad that my mother and father decided that it was time for me to be evacuated. The original evacuees had already gone some 6-9 months ago. And my sister and I then went to Midsummer Norton with our labels round our necks. And with the Sandringham Central School, they had an offshoot at Midsummer Norton.
Where is Midsummer Norton?
That's in Somerset. It's a mining, small mining town, or was.
When would it have been that you went?
That would have been around about May 1940, I would think. And we came back 6 weeks later. But Mr. Pooley, who was the principal of Sandringham Central, was evacuated with us. Now, the interesting part, I suppose, is the fact that when we got to Midsummer Norton, we had our little cases and our gas masks and our labels around our necks. And it appeared to me, after sort of getting into two files and walking along the streets, that people were coming out to pick us. My sister got picked first. She's 2 years younger than me. And I don't know whether the teachers then convinced somebody else who wanted a boy to take me, but I was picked shortly afterwards. The reason we only stayed 6 weeks in Midsummer Norton was the fact that I was getting homesick, and we had seen dogfights in the sky, and bombs had been dropped at Radstock, which was, I believe, a mile and a half away. So when my mother came down, I was able to convince her that because the bombs had dropped so close to us, that we might as well be home.
When you talked about that selection of the children, was it done in a cruel way?
No, I don't think so. We took it as a matter of course. We all had these labels around, and we didn't know an awful lot of what was going on. We were more interested in the children around us, so that suddenly somebody would say, "Oh, Molly, you're going to, and my sister, you're going to so-and-so." And then a little while later they said, "Oh, yes, well, Terry, you're going to so-and-so." And so it wasn't done, as far as I was aware, in a cruel way.
How did you get on with your hosts?
Very well, but they were strict in comparison with my parents, because I had to iron my own trousers at 12, which was not the way my mother had brought us up. We had to do things for ourselves. But they were very nice and looked after us. They were very country-fied people, and I remember Edam cheese and spring onions was a mainstay of our meals. We had quite a lot of that. And my sister and I used to run up and down the slack heaps on the way to school at Midsummer Norton.
What job did the father do?
I'm almost sure he was in the mines. As I say, it was a mining town.
Did you find it a very upsetting experience to be evacuated?
No, I didn't. But then I'm an easygoing sort of person. I don't get ruffled very easily. I think my sister probably got more upset than I did. She was, as I say, 2 years younger. And pardon? Oh, sorry.
Were there any other different ways of going on that the people had that from what you were used to in East Ham?
They had bigger gardens, they grew a lot of their own vegetables, even at that early days in the war. So I should imagine that they did this in peacetime as well. which we didn't do in our own garden.
So you went back to London?
We went back to London, and when we arrived there was a very bad air raid. I think we must have... Yes, we arrived, I think on my birthday, on the 25th of August. And on that particular night we had a very bad air raid. Shortly after this, I remember we went to Wakefield, I went to Wakefield School, which had opened, to carry on my central school studies. And I remember I used to sort of run around delivering newspapers in the morning, which I'd taken over from Jack Petchy. And then Jack Petchy joined the AFS Messengers. The bombing continued. And it got so bad that the windows, which kept being blown out as fast as they were putting them in with this very thick glass, eventually they gave up and just put black felt up at the windows, and there they remained for the rest of the war.
Is this still at the same address?
Yes, still at the same address.
Wasn't there a danger of thieves getting in?
Yes, there was looting, I believe, going on, because one day I walked round the corner, and being a child at the time, there was a loose board on one of the shops, and I just pulled this plank so that it rattled against the side of the shop, and within a couple of minutes the police had picked me up and asked me, put me in the car and said, "You've been looting," and I said, "No, I haven't. All I did was walk by and pull this plank of wood," and so it rattled against the shop window. And after they'd sort of been talking, they eventually let me go out in the car, but they were hot on looting in those days.
Do you think much looting was going on?
I didn't know of any, but not locally, I didn't hear of any. But I believe from stories I've heard that there was a little going on from time to time. But I wouldn't say that this was general. I think that people those days were of the sort that we were all going through the mill at the time, and we were all suffering, and I think that it would be looked upon as very bad taste if anybody sort of got caught like this, you know.
What about stealing from shops, though?
Not from shops as far as bomb damage was concerned, not as far as I know. I mean, I heard of one case around about the wartime where somebody stole a bicycle outside a bicycle shop, but no, nothing from war damage that I knew of.
How did your memories then come?
The bombing got so fierce that my mother and I and my sister were sent away by my father to Oxford. We went to Chipping Norton, and then we were sent by the billeting officer to a place in Rollwright.
This is the whole family?
This is my mother, my sister and myself. Well, when we arrived at Chipping Norton, we were sent to this place, and we arrived at the big house, and we knocked on the door, and a very gaunt-looking man opened the door. He was a brother of the person that owned the house, I believe. And they invited us in, and it was all very eerie. I remember they showed my mother the kitchen, and all the pans had verdigris and looked pretty filthy. And then we were shown up into the bedroom, which was mattresses on the floor. And there was another lady and her two daughters with us. And we went to bed, And during the night there were little eyes on the, running round the floor, and I felt very sick, and my mother and I went to the toilet whilst I was sick. And then these were rats evidently running around. We went to the billeting officer the following day, and he offered my mother a big large bar of soap and a bucket and brush and one thing another. And my mother was in tears. A soldier saw us and took us to the naffy, and he asked my mother what was the problem. Took us back to the billeting officer, and he made himself felt by sort of shouting and saying this wasn't the right way to treat people from London who were evacuated. And the billeting officer eventually relented and said, well, there was a place, but he wasn't sure that it was ready. And we then went to the lodge at Little Chew, which belonged to Captain and Mrs. Jeffcock. When we arrived there, there were a number of villagers that had brought us presents, and the Captain and Mrs. Jeffcock let us have the groom's quarters, which had all been nicely cleaned and laid out, and it was a very nice little home. And then after a few weeks they said, well, if we liked, we could invite my two aunties down to join us. So that was my Auntie Eva and Aunt Florrie came down to Little Chew with us. And Auntie Florrie brought my cousin Kenneth, who's a bit younger than ourselves. And this was a very pleasant. I went to Chipping Norton School. I didn't find a grammar school, so I had to go to an ordinary school. And I remember I got 100% for all the exams. I didn't lose a point in that particular exam because the standards of education was so low in comparison with the school I'd attended. And then my sister went to Great Tudor School. And then one early morning we all had a fight because we saw lots of vehicles all on the lawn, like Bren gun carriers and lots of army personnel, and my aunties and my mother were discussing what they were going to do. They thought these were Germans that had arrived. They were all saying, well, we'll give them anything, you know, get rid of them. So, that was that. And then my mother and I came home, left my sister down there with my aunties. And we were in London, in East Ham again. Bombing continued. Jack Petchy, as I say, was in the AFS Messengers. And we were like brothers. So I thought, well, I'd like to join something. And as I was doing a newspaper round at the time, I thought, well, I went up to the East Ham Town Hall to enlist in the ARP, as it was then, and where it said occupation, I remember I put shop assistant, which I thought was not bending, was not a falsehood. I was delivering newspapers, so I thought that was reasonable. And I put my age up 2 years, so I put my age up as 16, when I was actually 14 years and 1 month. Went round to Essex Road School, which was the ARP depot. Um, they'd issued us with these dungarees and a canvas bag with our gas mask in. Mr. Hillier was in charge, and Mr. Penfold was his assistant. There's a photograph there of me in the uniform. We hadn't been in there very long before they got rid of the dungarees and issued us civil defence uniforms.
What were your duties supposed to be?
Well, I was, when the telephone lines were down, we had to take messages to the incidents of bombing. But in our early days, we had to go along for lectures, and they taught us about mustard gas, Lewisite, chlorine, phosgene, BBC, KSK. Then we had to do pass that certificate and do a St. John's Ambulance certificate. And later on in the war, they in fact taught us Morse transmission. But the main thing was that if the telephone lines were down, we would take our messages to the particular place. And the whilst I was at Essex Road, a couple of the messengers that had been there had got called up, joined the RAF, and both of them were killed, I remember, in action, within 12 months of joining the RAF. There was, as you probably know, heavy and light duties people there, and they spent most of their time playing bingo at night when they weren't on duty, when there was no action. One chap taught us how to dance. Another one was playing the trombone or saxophone. Another one was making lead soldiers, and others were making dolls' houses and things like this. There was not always enough beds, I remember, so that the first came, first serve sort of thing. So sometimes it meant you sort of sleeping on the school floor with your overcoat and your gas mask case as a pillow. I remember this happening to me on one occasion. I went to an incident in Goldsmith Avenue where I lived, and I was clambering up. They used me a lot for clambering up on top of the bombed houses to reach things that heavier people couldn't reach. And I was on top of this place where the top floor had been left partly intact. And I was reaching for cases and things out of this wardrobe that was there. And my next door neighbour came along and told my mother, that, did you know your son was up on top of this building? We used to help people sort of take the glass out of their windows. This was a job that I did quite regularly. The WVS were always there wherever there was an incident, and we usually managed to get a cup of tea, although covered in brick dust and that sort of thing. My worst memory of the war, and my nearest to death, I suppose, I was riding my bike to an incident opposite Manor Park Station. I was bringing a message to them. And as I got into Manor Park Broadway, I saw this V-bomb coming towards us. I was approaching this Manor Park Broadway traffic lights, and as I saw this thing, I could see it was coming to, very close, so I pulled my bike onto the pavement. the sound of the V-bomb had stopped. I crouched down, and then there was a tremendous bang, and I was stunned. Something had hit me. I sort of gradually come round from being stunned, and I found that the front of the shop had fallen out. I picked myself up, and then I made my way back to the incident that I was going to. But I must have looked a bit pale because they said what had happened to you. Generally speaking, there wasn't a lot of fear. It was something that I suppose I enjoyed to a certain extent. I enjoyed being in uniform as a young lad. And we used to go to the youth club, which was open, and the teachers were running. I remember one girl was crying one day when I had to go on duty. I suppose my thoughts generally were that it was something that I enjoyed doing. Oh, I remember on another occasion there'd been a parachute mine at Washington Avenue, and I was sent to there to a rest centre. And when we got to the rest centre, I did a bit of first aid on somebody's head with the rest of the people doing the more serious injuries, and I sort of just looked after this elderly gentleman's head, cleaned it up, put plaster on it. And I was around at the rest centre for 2 or 3 days. We went and run errands for them and things like this. And my mother was getting worried by this time because she didn't know where I was. So she went round to the local depot and asked where I'd got to, and they said that the last they heard of me was that I'd gone to this rest centre.
Were these rest centres all over the place?
Well, I knew of two. We went to Monaghan Road rest centre on a couple of occasions when unexploded bombs had landed nearby. And they had this other one at St Michael's Church at Manor Park. And we met a couple of girls, my friend and I, Ricky Turrell and myself, we met these couple of girls, so that made it more interesting to stay at this rest centre at the time. My mother's told us since that she was very worried because we were missing from home virtually for 2 or 3 days.
So what were the rest centres actually? Just a place where people could go for...
No, they were places where if you had unexploded bombs or you'd been bombed out, you could go along and find a bed and something to eat and cups of tea and that sort of thing. So I was going down to the greengrocers and getting food for the rest centre.
Who would man the rest centres?
Now that's something that I can't remember because I didn't come in contact with them very much. I went in there with other sort of more adult people, and they were sort of